saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is not lawful for me to do, or is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many shall be called, but few are chosen." So what would you think if you started work at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you agreed to a penny, and the pay comes, but you're watching all those people who got hired 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and they're all getting the same money that you're getting. Would you be disillusioned with the boss? That's good. Yeah, I guess so. Now, the overriding theme, really, of this passage is really dealing with that servants of the Lord get a full reward. It doesn't matter when you go and begin to serve the Lord. Okay? So let me just give you an example. Pastor Ethan has been literally serving the Lord since he was a little boy. By the time he was a little boy, he worked in junior church, he worked on the bus. Now, somebody like Brother Frank's not here tonight, but Brother Frank didn't get saved until about 10 years ago. But Brother Frank's been serving the Lord for the last 10 years. So really the overriding point of the parable that's given here is it's not so much when you begin, it's what you do once you begin. Okay? So what I'm saying is, well, Ethan has been serving the Lord now. He's 30, I don't know how old he is, 30-something. So he's been serving for over 30, almost, let's just say 30 years. And if Frank's been serving the Lord for 10 years, well, it's what have you done with the 10 years? That's what the Lord's interested in. Follow what I'm saying? But from a secondary application, I wanted to just take this point, this scripture here, and just talk about the whole idea, the lesson here of being disillusioned. Because there's some disillusion here. Look again at verse 8. "And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired up to let their other seed of pay. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more." There's a problem they got going on here. Wait a minute. They don't understand this. But when we read to the end of the parable here, the whole idea was, well, wait a minute, that's what you agreed for, and that's what you should be happy with. You shouldn't be disillusioned with any of this. So disillusion, it's easy, you know, it can be easy in this world in which we live today and all that goes on to get disillusioned about things. Chris was sharing with me this past week, two of your tires went, your water pump went. Pretty disillusioned with that car. that's a type of disillusion. But most of the time, we can get disillusioned just by things that are going on around us. We look around, and it can become easy to become disillusioned. The state of affairs, really, in our nation, or it may be things going on in your family, or things going on with friends. It could be any number of things that you could become disillusioned about. And we should we want to talk about that tonight. Careful of how it can have a very, very negative effect upon us if we're not careful. And so if you notice on your handout, the roots of disillusionment, just fill these two blanks in. And these are not certainly all of the roots of disillusion, but these can be pretty major ones. The first one is this: unrealistic beliefs about people. We get very disillusioned in our beliefs about people. We're not careful, sometimes we can elevate people. Like when I was a young Christian, we had a gospel singer who came to this ministry several times. He's quite well known, and as one of the first, kind of dating myself, but I bought his record. He had records that they were selling before tapes. And so I bought a couple of his records, and I really enjoyed his music, and he was quite well known. And some years later, I found out that he had a nice family, a wife, he had five children, and I found out quite a few years later that he had left his family. And I guess I would have to say by the time that happened, I had grown and matured enough in my faith not to put a lot of emphasis on people per se. I thought when I was putting this lesson together, I remember my first several years as a believer, if that had happened then, I would have been very disillusioned by that. Because I looked up to the man, is what I'm saying. But people, if we're not careful, we can elevate them, but we can be disappointed by them. And people get disappointed by people all the time, relationships, or your friends, might be your boss at work, might be a fellow employee at work, but be careful about unrealistic beliefs that you have in people. Somebody said this once. They said, the best men are men at best. You get that? The best men are men at best. People are people, and we'll talk about this a little bit, but no one's perfect, and people will let you down. And I'm sure as a pastor in all of these years, there have been times that there have been people in our church that perhaps I let them down. That kind of brings me to the second point, on this first point, roots of disillusionment, unrealistic beliefs in leaders. Unrealistic beliefs in leaders. I had a good friend for years early on, and when I was a new Christian, and he and his wife went off to Bible college, and the Bible college that they went off to, the man who started that Bible college, had a very strong personality, and a very strong, just a very strong presence. And I remember visiting my friend and his wife some years later, and they had a picture of this man hanging in their house, and I thought, wow, that's kind of like, you're worshiping this guy. And there was such a strong attachment to him, almost as if they thought that he could do absolutely nothing wrong. The greatest of men or the greatest of women has the potential to do something wrong. And wouldn't you know it, some years later, this fellow got into some problems and kind of was disgraced. So we need to be careful that we don't put unrealistic beliefs in people who look to as leaders, because the best of men are men at best. Deuteronomy chapter number 31 on your handout, the Bible says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, for he it is that goeth with thee. But in the last part of this verse, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You know, it's so vital that if people who we know let us down, and we put unrealistic beliefs in them, or unrealistic beliefs about these people, when we do get let down, we do get disillusioned, begins to creep in, that we remember that there's one person who will never, ever, ever fail us, and that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And in this verse in Deuteronomy here, this is Moses giving some instruction to Joshua. He's going to be the next leader. And he's going to take the children of Israel, and he's going to have his own issues. I mean, the life of Moses is good times and bad times and difficult times. And he's giving some instruction to Joshua, the next leader of the children of Israel. In fact, in the next verse there on your handout, Joshua 1:5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. The Lord said this to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, why did the Lord instruct Moses this way? Why did the Lord instruct Joshua this way? Because the Lord knew that, and just whether it's their lives or if it's our lives, there are going to be people that cross our path that are going to let us down, that we're going to get disillusioned by them. But the Lord's reminding us through these verses, and he was reminding Joshua through these verses, people may let you down, but I, the Lord, will never let you down. You might get disillusioned with this person or that person. But the Lord will never bring you to a place for you to be disillusioned with Him. If we're not careful, the disillusions that we have for people can lead us down some horrible roads. And that's on the back of your handout. The road of disillusionment. It's a path that you and I do not want to travel. So before I have you fill in these three blanks here, look at the scriptures that I have for you. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now to set these scriptures up before we read them, here's the story. We have in the story Absalom. We have, before all of this takes place here, Absalom's sister Tamar. And we have in the story their half-brother Amnon. Amnon is attracted to Tamar. And in fact, I forget who it was, but he's almost sick over her. And the individual in the Bible says to Amnon, why are you so crestfallen? And Tamar. I just so want to be with her, and I just so want to have a connection with her. And so they devise this plot for Amnon to feel like, look like he's sick. And so the king hears about it, King David, and he says to Tamar, go see your half-brother Amnon. He's not feeling well. Go bring him some food. And God cheered him up. So she does. But it's a plot. It's a plot for him to force himself upon his half-sister. And so he does. In fact, she says, no, don't do this. If you ask the king, the king will give me you. I can become your wife, basically is what she's saying. But we don't want to do this. This will bring shame to Israel. Meaning they were going to have, he wanted to have a physical relationship with her. So he doesn't take no for an answer. And he rapes her. And then the Bible says something like this. After it was all said and done, his hate for her exceeded his love for her. He basically used her and kicks her out. Says, I'm going to see you again. And out she goes. So Absalom hears about this. And he is just angry that this took place. But if you read the account, and then the Bible says that David, the king, he had wrath as well. But you know what you find? He did absolutely nothing about it. And this bothered Absalom. 2 years went by, and still they did nothing about it. And so Absalom plots to get Amnon alone. And he does, and he kills him. But Absalom became disillusioned with his father's... One of the things, if you study the life of David, of King David, one of the things he failed at was his relationship with his children. It was a number of times he didn't step in and deal with his children. So, he was a great king, and he was used of God, but there was a number of issues that he just failed to deal with his kids. Well, Absalom becomes disillusioned with him. So Absalom plots, and he has Amnon killed. But it doesn't end there. So now pick it up in 2 Samuel 15. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on the matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. The disillusion that he had with his father led him to the point where he plotted to steal the throne from his father. So, on the top there, I got three blanks for you. Write these three words in. Number one is criticism. Criticism. Absalom began to criticize in a very subtle way his father. When he said, as you're writing that in those verses there, oh, if I were the judge, they could come to me and I would do it justice, as if to say, you know, my father didn't even do justice. He knew what had taken place and he never took care of it. 2 years and nothing's been done about this. And then the word conversation. Conversation. You know, people who are disillusioned feel better when other people are disillusioned. They're better around them. You like that. You find that to be true. They like to spread that disillusion. So be careful that you're not drawn into someone else's disillusion. Because it becomes very dangerous. Absalom was drawing the whole nation into him as he stood there at the gate and trying to convince them that he could do a better job. His father really wasn't doing a good job. He could do a better job than his father. And then the word condemnation. You begin to condemn people. You get a distorted view. Instead of looking for the best in people, we look for the worst in people. It's especially true with regards to when we're dealing with disillusion. And with Absalom, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And in the end, he rebels, and his father David has to flee for his life. Later on, Absalom would be tragically killed. By the way, it broke his father's heart. All that took place. And it's a tragic story in the Bible. But some of it is David's fault. He never did anything about what Amnon did to Tamar. He just kind of let it go. And Absalom became disillusioned by it all. And in fact, it just reminds me, I was talking to someone about 3 months ago who's not in church anywhere, and I was trying to encourage them to go to church. And one of the reasons that they're not in church is because the church that they attended, this man didn't attend this church here, attended somewhere else. The church that they attended, there were some things going on. He told me what they were, but you don't really need to know. But they should have been addressed by the pastor. And he became disillusioned by that. You know, it's as if the pastor's preaching one thing, but there's other things going on in the church. And he just went to the pastor several times and talked to the pastor issues, and nothing ever got done about it, so he became disillusioned. And now he's not in church anyway. That's not a healthy thing either. Because you probably realize this by now, there is no perfect church, amen. But disillusion. But now let's just finish up by talking, what's the remedy when disillusion either comes into our life or people who are disillusioned come into our life? First word on your fill in the blank here is the word recognition, to recognize. Recognize that we all have a fallen nature. We all have a fallen nature. The psalmist said, "For he," meaning God, "knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are but dust." Every person's got a fallen nature. What I'm saying is, recognize the fact that people can let you down, and sooner or later they will let you down. Secondly, the word realization. We're all capable of failure. All of us are capable of failure. So the Bible is filled with examples of that. The apostles and their failure. Look at Peter as he denied the Lord 3 times. And for the apostles, when Jesus was crucified, there's a lot of disillusionment going on there. Oh, we thought he was going to usher in the kingdom, and they were disillusioned. But we realize that we're all capable of failure, every one of us. And those that are around us. I remember hearing this many, many years ago by an evangelist. He said, the context of an army, the Christian army is the only army that likes to shoot its wounded. So people get wounded, they get hurt, there's something going on in their lives, and we can become critical of them and forget that we ourselves could find ourselves in the exact same position. So be careful. So we're all capable of failure. And then the third word is the word reflection. Think about some things about getting disillusioned. While everyone is capable of failure, not everyone fails. Now that's kind of almost a contradiction to the point before that where I said we're all capable of failure. It's true. And people do fail, but not everybody fails. Not everybody fails. You understand what I mean by that? You could look around. There are people who have. I was thinking of Elijah there when he was being chased by Queen Jezebel, and he was hiding in the cave, and he just wanted to die. He was just going to give up. He was so disillusioned. And he said, I'm the only one in Israel that has not bent a knee to the idols. Everybody else is just a liberal. And then God said, there's 7,000 others that have not bent a knee. And you need to realize that, when you think of this, everyone's capable of failure, but not everyone fails. And you see that, by the way, I'll just kind of give you a little insight. Sometimes you see that in ministry, especially men who've been in New England for a long time. They kind of get set, well, it's just the way that it is. And, you know, churches don't grow, and people really aren't getting saved any longer, and these are the times we live in. Well, that's not really true. People still are getting saved. And churches are growing, and you can let the disillusionment get a hold of you. And it almost feels like it's a comfort. So you have to be careful of that. And then the fourth fill in the blank is this. When disillusionment comes our way, or people bring disillusionment our way, write this word down, refocus. Refocus. Don't allow that to distract you from the one who will never fail. Refocus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the one. Remember what Joshua was told. There shall not be any man to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So let me just finish up tonight by looking at these verses I put in the handout here. Joshua became disillusioned. Here's the same guy that God said to him, listen, be strong and of good courage. Well, after the Battle of Jericho, they were instructed, by the way, not to take any of the gold or the silver from the destruction of Jericho, that they were to take that and they were to dedicate that to the Lord. And the instruction, when the Israelites got into Israel, they were going to go from city to city, and God was going to allow them to conquer and drive out the heathen that were in the land. Well, the second battle was the Battle of Ai. They won the Battle of Jericho, the wonderful victory, and now they sent spies to the little city of Ai. These spies came back and they said, you know, we don't even need to send the whole army. Send 3,000 men. It'll be more than enough to conquer. So they sent these 3,000 men to the Battle of Ai, and they severely lost the battle. And so we find that Joshua is, well, we'll pick it up here now. So this is what's happened in chapter 7. And Joshua, he rent his clothes. That means he tore them. It was a sign, an outward sign of grief. And he rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their head. And Joshua said, oh, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say? When Israel turneth their backs before their enemies. In other words, he's just disillusioned. They won that great victory. They saw the walls of Jericho come down. He probably thought after that, we're going to just win victory after victory after victory. And they go to Ai and they lose severely. One of the reasons they lost is because there was somebody who did not listen. And they actually took the gold and the silver and the garments and hid them. And that would be exposed. And he goes on here, though. He says, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ around us, and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? Oh, he's so disappointed. Well, here's the Lord's response. The Lord said unto Joshua, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? One of my favorite verses in the Bible, because whenever I get discouraged, I think of that verse. It's like the Lord saying, get off your face here. The problem is there was sin in the camp. You know, stop being disillusioned. And we're going to deal with this. And Joshua does, by the way. Joshua goes and finds out who took the gold and the silver that they weren't supposed to take. His name was Achan, and took Achan out, and Achan confessed that he had done contrary to what God had said. Achan got put to death. And then after that, they won battle after battle after battle. But I remind you now, look at verse 6 of Joshua at the bottom. Be strong. This is chapter 1. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Listen, God knew before Joshua took command and Joshua began to lead them into the promised land, God knew that there would be ups and there would be downs. There would be good times and there would be bad times. There would be faithful people in the camp and there would be unfaithful people in the camp. God knew that. And he reminded Joshua from the very beginning, just stay strong. Be courageous. And so back there in chapter 7, where he said, Joshua, get up. He had already told him to be strong and have good courage. But he said, Joshua, you're just feeling sorry for yourself. Stop being disillusioned with what's taking place. There's a reason for it. And Joshua, again, listened to the Lord and he went on. But God had told him right from the very beginning. And those are verses for you and I to remember when we kind of get disillusioned by a person, by something that's going on around us. We recognize that this kind of thing happens, but there's one who absolutely will never, ever let us down, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are plenty of examples of brothers and sisters in Christ who live, they're not perfect, and they still at some point, they may let you down. But if you take a step back and they say, if brother so-and-so, oh, they kind of let me down in this area here, but you know what? There were so many other times that they didn't let me down, they lifted me up. There were so many other times that it's not going my way now, but so many other times it went my way. Got to remember that. Got to refocus and remember who's the one that's in control of all things. And remember verses like Isaiah chapter 26, 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your mind on the things of God when people let you down. Don't let disillusion set in. Amen? That's our Bible study. The roots, the road, and the remedy for dealing with this. All right, let's have a short word of prayer, and then you go ahead and spend some time in prayer yourselves. Lord, thank you for the opportunity tonight to just take a few minutes and open your word and look at some examples in the Bible of how different people dealt with this particular topic. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us, Lord, to always keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, now bless our prayer time.